Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Michael Gray and I'm excited to be here tonight with Melinda and Dave, who are monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you, Michael. Good
Great to have
talk
you on the
you.
Air. Great. So I understand you two have some good news updates.
Yes, we do.
Good.
One thing that we thought might be fun for people to know is that I think probably a lot of folks know that we are down in L.A. over the new year doing a peace storming event down there.
Yes.
And we worked with a bunch of really wonderful people down in the middle of the city there. And there's this one guy named James who really, I think probably people have heard about him before. He just really stuck out from the very beginning as someone who was willing to just jump in and make stuff happen. And really inspired us all with his willingness to participate. And he has gotten a job.
Oh, great.
Just based on that experience. You know, we, of course, went to everybody we knew saying, you know, this guy, he's really got something going for him. And, you know, can you find him a job? And they found him some work to do. And so he's working and he's supporting his wife and his little boy. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's got the cutest little two-year-old who looks like a carbon copy of James, only a slightly smaller version.
Yeah, his name is James, too, the little boy, I believe.
Yeah.
And then so we really were excited about the peace storming, and it was just such a successful event, such a kind of a heartwarming, feel-good kind of a thing, and we'd like to do it again in this coming year. We're thinking sometime around Thanksgiving. And we're still looking for a location. So if folks would like to have any ideas about that, some place that needs some shot in the arm, you know, some help with something we could do over a long weekend, then let us know. And we'll kind of take people's ideas and see what we want to do next Thanksgiving.
Great. And Dave, how would they contact us if they wanted to do that?
Probably the best way to do it would be to send an email to the regular regular monastery office, either information at livingcompassion.org or the Zen Center at livingcompassion.org.
Okay, great.
And
there's also a blog up now on the peace storming with photos, so people can get a closer look at what went on in that wonderful adventure we had.
Great, great. I've read it, and it looks like it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that's happening is we are gearing up big time for the next bridge walk. And the overarching phrase for it is community across the world. Compassion is the bridge. And the bridge walk is on October 4th. And it's going to be bigger and better than ever. And we're going to be encouraging people, if they can come, that's fabulous, and if they're not able to make it to San Francisco, to have an event wherever they are and join us in that way.
Great.
So please mark your calendars, October 4th.
Great.
And there are a couple of other date things to let people know about. Sherry will be doing for people who did the best year yet, sort of goals, yearly planning process that we do every year. For folks who did that this year, there's going to be a follow-up that Sherry will be leading on April 12th at the Palo Alto Zen Center. And I think to sign up, you go through registration at Living Compassion. Is that right, Dave?
Actually, I think to sign up for this one, they're doing the sign-up themselves. But that information will be on the website.
Oh, very good. Very good. Sherry's also the next night, April 13th, doing a talk in Berkeley, and that information will also be on the website. And she's doing a retreat at Namaste, April 18th to 20th, and that's an absolutely beautiful location. And again, check out the website if you think you might like to go to that retreat.
And then we've got an event coming up in North Carolina that we're really excited about. It starts on April the 26th and ends on May the 3rd, I believe. It's we've been looking for a long time for a site in North Carolina to do long retreats to replace Nantahala Village, which sold a couple years ago. And we really haven't had a whole lot of success until this year. There's a neat place that we found. It's a camp called Camp Mondawmin. It's very near Asheville for folks who know the area. And they have agreed to have us come in and do kind of an old-fashioned Sherry Huber working meditation retreat with them for a week. So we're really excited about that. We're expecting a big crowd. It should be a fun, high-energy, super, super good kind of experience. So if folks want to sign up for that, we'd love to see you there. And again, it's the type of retreat where we do, you know, maybe 4 or 5 meditation periods a day. There's individual guidance sessions with Sherry, group in the evening, and then of course we'll do, you know, a little working meditation during the day and eat some terrific vegetarian food and all the usual things that people enjoy.
Great. Sounds like fun.
And then I think, you know, the thing that's on my mind, I think, the most today is just how wonderful it is to be at the monastery right now. We've had nothing but just extraordinary, fantastic, beautiful weather. It's spring has hit suddenly. And we have flowers everywhere. The grass is growing. You know, the birds are in the trees. You know, all probably like it is in most places in the country right now, except for up in the north. You know, just the places, nature is going bananas and celebrating, and it's really, nature is excited to be at the monastery. And that makes us all excited to be at the monastery, too. And so we've kind of moved outdoors. You know, we kind of huddle up in our little buildings in the wintertime and do the best we can, but now we've moved out. We're doing a lot of outdoor building projects. We're painting this and painting that and building this and building that, and it's really fun. It's a fun time to be here.
Great. Great.
Yeah, somehow the monastery is just extraordinarily beautiful, and it's a time when the dogs can lie on the bridge in the sun, and just, it just really somehow boosts the heart opening that is always here at the monastery anyway, but it gets a real big boost with spring.
And I was there recently, so I share that experience as well.
You had the experience yourself.
I had the experience. I can confirm it.
Yeah, so people might consider when they're going to make their next trip to the monastery, and it's absolutely gorgeous here.
Great.
I had one follow-up, too, on something that was talked about last week, I believe. We have a new employee that we've hired, and somebody to help us bring people to the monastery is one way to look at it. His name's Mark, and he's here to – we're starting him off doing some building. I actually worked with him all day. We've got a half-finished building up near – folks who have been here know the upper parking lot, just down the hill from there, and we spent the day getting started on that again. And so hopefully, you know what, we'll fix up that little building for sort of like a kind of a special office space for people when they come, and they're maybe here partly on retreat, part working, that sort of thing. We have a lot of really big plans ahead. You know, we've started talking again about the meditation hall, creating a great big meditation hall for people to be here, expanding the way that the places that people can eat, so we can, you know, have everybody have a comfortable place to eat indoors, creating a shower house that people can use, you know, sort of putting the infrastructure in place that will really allow more people to be here on the property comfortably. And we're really excited about that, and we're really excited to have some help with that in the form of Mark, and we're hoping he'll be able to help us move in that direction, you know, as we move into what we hope will be and will very likely be our expanded future.
Wonderful. It's very exciting.
There's an image of as the flowers are blossoming and opening up, that all the buildings are beginning to grow up and open up in a really marvelous way.
I can picture it.
That's great.
Great, great. Melinda, Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
And it's great to hear
Michael.
All the good news.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. We're looking forward to the rest of the show.
Okay, great. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. Those are some fun people you were just talking
those
to.
Those are some fun people.
And it sounds like they live at an amazing place.
Yes. Yes, they do. I've been there myself.
Yeah.
Yes. How are you today?
Great. I'm right up the road from them, so I'm having the same exact experience.
Yeah.
It's just a fun time to be alive. I think as human beings, because we're conditioned human beings, we do an awful lot of trying to figure things out.
Yes.
You know, so this is going, well, what, you know, what about this, and why is that, and I have this pain, and so what caused that, or, you know, and it's easy to see when spring hits how affected we are by our surroundings and circumstances. We don't have to look very far to fall into that. Now, let's see, what, oh, it's beautiful. It's hard to be unhappy on such a beautiful day. Not that we can't manage it, because we all know we can. We've all
a little practice.
Yeah, well, or I'm having a hard time in my life, or I'm depressed right now, or whatever. And certainly, the weather isn't going to, necessarily magically pull me out of that. But it is great to see how, not in that figuring out sort of way, but just how much a part of life we are. And as Dave was saying, it's winter time, and so we're kind of huddled inside. Well, if you look around, everything is, the trees are huddled inside, the birds are huddled inside, and then spring comes and it warms up, and the sun comes out, and suddenly we're all out there sprouting, and it's nice.
Yes, it is nice. My experience as well.
Nice to be a human.
Nice to be a human. This is our chance.
This is our chance. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, such a big part of what we do is try to encourage one another to take the best possible advantage we can of this chance that we have, this time that we have, and not let egocentric karmic conditioning kind of suck the joy of it out of us, or have karma just throw such nonstop stumbling blocks in front of us that that we forget what a privilege it is to be alive, how short a time that's going to be the case, what a tremendous opportunity it is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Big appreciation for Sangha.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. Yes. Sherry, we have several callers here, and I think they're here to talk to you.
Well, talk to us, and as fond of pointing out, that's always a good thing on a talk show.
On a talk show.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd like to welcome our next caller. You probably just got a message saying you're now unmuted.
Yes.
Could you please tell us your first name and where you're calling from?
Todd from Calgary, Canada.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sherry. Hey,
how
Michael.
Hi.
Good.
Going
how are you
on
doing
this evening?
Oh, lots of things have been going on. Lots and lots of stuff. Spring has not yet sprung up here in the north.
Dave did make that little line there, didn't he? Except maybe up north.
Yeah, Dave.
That
Dave,
would be
Dave,
you folks.
That would be us folks, north of the 49th.
Uh-huh, but soon.
Soon, a month.
Uh-huh.
A month. Actually, let me correct myself. Actually, the side of our house that does get the southern exposure, little sprouts of grass have come up.
Ah, lovely.
And I've got the cat now kind of leash trained. It's a new thing, so we're bringing the cat outside.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And we get to watch the cat explore everything, and that's a great awareness practice.
Yes, it is.
Because, it reminds me of beginner's mind, cat mind.
Uh-huh.
And the cat stops at every blade of grass.
Uh-huh.
And we tend to walk over thousands of blades of grass and don't even look down, but it's fun to watch the cat look at every blade of grass and every twig and just
and
spend,
realize that each one of them is unique and worth attending to.
Well said. Yes, yes. My cat is, and my dog are great spiritual guides.
Uh-huh.
For my awareness practice. It's very fun to engage with them and walk them and just watch them, actually.
Yeah.
Just bring awareness to their little experiences, which is my experience.
Yeah. I was talking to a fellow yesterday afternoon, and he was talking about it as traveling around with a 4 or 5 year old child, but an animal is the same thing, and the awareness practice is about wanting, and so about the time I'm walking with the dog or with the little child, I'm ready to move on. Child wants to stay.
Correct.
Okay? I want to stay. Child wants to move on.
Yes.
I'd like to be quiet. You know, child wants to interact. I'd like to interact. Child wants to be quiet.
Uh-huh.
And so looking at how often when we're just referring to ourselves, it's easy for us to slip into a no gap between it occurs to me, I do it.
Right.
And what a great practice it is to be sort of under somebody else's direction.
Definitely.
Regularly, so that we just get to see, have a chance to look at what it is that's taking us around through life.
True, true. And we have lots of little snowbanks, and I believe my dog is part polar bear because he likes to snow swim.
Mm.
So any snowbank he comes upon, it is an opportunity for him to just have this unbounded joy and to swim in the snow and get totally covered. But you're right. He stops me and then brings me to the present awareness because I'm probably in the voices or in the head. And he jolts the leash and says, "Hey, there's a snowbank. We're gonna we're gonna snow swim for a few minutes, and I'm gonna cover myself in snow and just experience all this joy as a being, as a sentient being. And it's quite fun. It's quite very enjoyable to be with the dog.
Yeah.
And in my awareness practice, a couple of years ago, I got the great honor and privilege to go to the monastery and take There's Nothing Wrong to retreat.
Uh-huh.
And I've been listening to the archives, and I've been hearing a lot about this backlash, and I only brought awareness to my backlash. Mine was quite delayed.
Mm.
I had a delayed backlash.
Well, that's good.
I had 6 or 8 months of quite a bit of seeing the voices and disidentifying and present moment awareness. And then they were just hiding and waiting, I believe.
Uh-huh.
My experience is they were hiding and waiting. And then I got married and into an intimate relationship, and they said, "Oh, there we go. There's the content we're looking for."
Yeah, this is the opening we've been scanning
and
for.
Yeah, things got very, very messy and very crazy for quite a while. And actually, my sitting practice went into hibernation for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And my awareness practice as well is kind of life happens. But just recently... about a month ago, a great aha came to me through the awareness practice. And it was part of that recitation about ending suffering.
Uh-huh.
And is that after the meditation, the recitation, or before? We are here to end suffering?
Yeah.
Suffering.
Yeah, we tend to do that at the beginning and the ending of all of the sittings except the first one in the morning where we just do it at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, my experience was I had been using alcohol I call it an unconscious delivery system for me.
Uh-huh.
It allowed me to go unconscious. And
sure.
Even with the awareness practice, the voice has taught me back into drinking, and I've been doing it for 30-odd years. And about a month ago, my awareness practice just came up, and that little recitation came up, the one about ending suffering. And... it just out of nowhere, and it just from center, and I was sitting there, you know, probably on my 6th or 7th beer in it, and I'd had enough.
Uh-huh.
I had enough suffering on the alcohol.
Good
and
for
that,
you.
That dropped away. That dropped away, and I put down my last drink, and it's been a month, and the voices are still there.
Sure.
And they're still talking like, "Don't you can have a drink. You're fine. But, we're hurt and suffering, and suffering is more important than anything. And the line I love is, if I'm suffering, I probably have to start at the beginning, but we're hurt and suffering. If
I'm
suffering
something.
Yeah, if I'm suffering, it's because I'm doing something other than.
It's because I'm choosing something over ending suffering.
Yes, thank you,
Sherry.
Yeah. And I realized I was engaged in that conversation, and I've been hearing the archives, and I stopped that conversation.
Hmm.
And the last month, my wife and I, she said to me this morning, she said, "I have not laughed so much." We've been married 2 years now. "I have not laughed so much in the last week than I have in the... I've laughed more in the last week than I've laughed in the last 20 years.
Uh-huh.
The joy, and we're catching each other, and she's also in the awareness practice. And you know, I hear the Buddha and the things about, you know, you've got to, you know, be diligent about your own salvation. But yeah, I heard you just the other day in one of the archives about you can't do it hand in hand, but you can do it holding hands.
Ah.
You can't do
good,
it.
That's good, isn't it?
For the other person. And that my ego and my conditioning wants to do it for her.
Oh, sure.
But when I go to center, I realize just give her the space to allow her to be whatever experience she wants to have.
Yeah, yeah. And to know within yourself and to trust that she's perfectly adequate to her life.
Yeah. And
which is
that,
a good reminder for you that you are adequate to yours.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I've just, you know, I've read your books and I did the retreat and I've, you know, done all that. But, you know, there's all this talk about this joy will arise and this lightning and this, the seriousness of life will fade away. And for the first time in my life, I'm really, really starting to sense that that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That when you're not.
That thing that we put on T-shirts and things like that, joy is what's there when you stop doing everything else.
Yes.
Yeah. And that doing, that conditioned, egocentric doing that we're so fond of, and it's just a coating. It's
right.
The lid on joy.
It is. It is. And to see my addiction fall away after 35 years of buying into that voice that says, yeah, it's okay. You can go numb and you can go, you know, be inebriated and continue to suffer. That's fine. Yeah. That's what we're here for. It works for me.
Yeah. This egocentric karmic conditioning.
But it didn't work for me. That's right. And it's my wife is even quite amazed. She just says, well, you're not drinking anymore. I said, no, I'm not. And, you know, we talked about rehab and we talked about, you know, and I got this aha moment of awareness just came through. And I heard in your archives too that sometimes you just never know when it's going to come up. It's like trying to awake. It's like trying to go to sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to try to be present.
Yeah.
But that, in a sense, isn't conditioning kind of wanting to do something instead of allowing something.
Yes, rather than just dropping everything.
Yeah.
That's such a subtle point and
it
so
is.
Important. Yeah, the difference between I'm going to do this awareness thing and just coming back to the breath, coming back to awareness, dropping everything and coming back. It's just the difference between joy and suffering.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, good.
Just a little shout out to Sadie. How's Sadie doing?
She's doing good.
Good. And I heard in the archives the Peace Project in L.A., you brought home another four-legged monk.
Yes, we did. In fact, I think an email is coming out pretty soon to folks, and there's a picture of Pache in the email.
Oh,
and I just saw it this morning, and I said, my goodness, that is a handsome fellow.
Because he's the big German shepherd that was wandering around.
Yes.
The stray.
So good looking.
Yes.
Yeah. So you'll see him, and there's a picture of Sadie too, in her surgery recovery, and she's just doing so well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I'm aspiring to go back to the monastery soon.
Good.
Miss Sangha, and looking to shore up the foundation a little more.
Good.
And maybe have an early spring.
All right.
Before ours has sprung. And thanks again, Sherry.
Well, as we say, come on down.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
We sure will. Thanks again. And thanks Michael.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm showing four more callers here.
Good.
Great. Yeah, I'd like to welcome our next caller. You probably just got a message saying you're unmuted. Could you please tell us your name and where you're calling from? Are you there? Next caller. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber. You're listening to this message. You're live on the air. Okay, Sherry, let's try the next one. Little game here. Next caller, you probably just got a message saying you are now unmuted. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Maria. I'm calling from Ellensburg, Washington.
Well, good evening.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay.
All right. That's. It sounds like there's more to that.
Well, sure there is. My question is, I'm kind of new to awareness practice and trying to establish a meditation practice, and I'm really new to the idea of these voices in my head that aren't really me.
Uh-huh. Now,
and,
may I ask you about that before we
sure.
go on? Okay, don't forget where you were headed, but
okay.
Do you hear the voices?
Yes, I do.
So you're aware that they are there talking to you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And they tell me that I'm doing things wrong, that I'm doing things right, that I should be doing something else.
Uh-huh. Now,
and,
can I ask you one more about that?
Sure.
Okay. Were you aware of those voices before you started awareness practice, or was that did an awareness of them come along with the practice?
Well, I was aware of the voices, but I had never thought of them as not being my authentic self. I thought they were all me.
Yeah.
And I thought they were true, all
yeah.
the things they were saying.
Yeah.
So
well, it's logical, isn't it? Why would people be in there lying to you?
Yeah, and it was really interesting when I got the first book of yours that I read, which was There's Nothing Wrong With You, and it was the first time I considered that maybe it wasn't helpful to be listening to me or what I thought was me telling me how wrong I am and how I
yeah.
should be different.
Yeah.
I really thought
yeah,
that eventually that was going to pay off.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's kind of the second phase of it, isn't it? So even if those were legitimate you voices, you know,
right.
even if it was you talking, just to get it that, okay, but if I'm saying all of this really kind of rotten stuff to myself, maybe that's not helpful. Maybe that's
yeah.
actually not going to lead me to being the person I should be.
Right. I
yeah.
thought, I don't know. I guess I thought I was going to head in some direction, but I seem to be in the same loop constantly.
Yeah.
and
just astounding, isn't it?
It really has been astounding.
Yeah.
And so can I ask my question?
Yes, please.
Okay, so here's what I've been struggling with is that I feel like if I disidentify with those voices
mm-hmm.
and I stop trying and worrying about being this person I can never be, I don't know what I'll be about.
Okay,
May I? Sure.
It's my job to regularly interrupt people, as you've probably noticed.
That's fine.
Okay, because you said something really significant, and I'm not sure you heard it.
Okay.
At least this is what I heard you say, that if you disidentify from those voices and you stop trying to be that person that you will never be,
right.
Is that kind of how you phrased it?
Yes.
Yeah. So can you hear what a huge assumption that is? Here's the belief and assumption that those voices, so a long time ago, before you became aware of all this,
yeah.
the belief was those voices are going to make me be the right person.
Right.
Okay. All right, so now you realize, whoa, maybe those voices are not authentic voices, and maybe, huh. So that means I'll never be that person.
Right.
But you don't know that. Maybe those voices were keeping you from realizing you are that person.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
I know, we're not supposed to.
Yeah. I have this perfect person that I assumed that I would be when I got my act together.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was a standard that I couldn't live up to.
That's right. Now, let me ask you this. What? Give me three three qualities of this perfect person?
I would be positive all the time or most of the time.
Okay.
I would be spiritual, meaning I meditate every day. I have a spiritual practice. And third, probably that I would be living healthy, eating the right foods, exercising.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those three things.
Okay, so those three things, you would be, you'd have a meditation or awareness practice, you'd be spiritual, you'd be positive, and you'd be healthy.
Yeah.
Now, without those voices telling you that you're not, just really,
right.
really realistically, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad are you? So let's say, now this is without the voices assessing you.
Right.
Because, you know, when you step back and look, those voices are the negativity in your life.
Yeah.
Okay. So
well, they're doing it right now. They're telling me I should have listed different things.
That you should have. Oh, sure. Yeah. But it wouldn't have mattered because.
Right.
Yeah. Because awareness practice is always going to be several steps ahead of them. So they can't win in this conversation, but they sit there in the back of your head and try to make you miserable anyway.
Yeah.
So without them, you probably are a fairly positive person. Are you a nice person?
I think so.
You try to be good to people and try to be kind and sensitive.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And you here's the big clue for you. And this is how I can be pretty sure of the answers that I'm going to get from you if I can get you to be honest.
Yeah.
And that is you're concerned about it. I have yet to meet a bad person who is concerned about being a good person.
Oh.
And no matter how self-hate hates this, okay, only good people are concerned about being good.
Oh, that would make sense, I guess.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So without the voices, and, you know, I could watch you, you know, debating between what you wanted to say and what it's telling you.
Right.
So to be a positive person, but according to self-hatred, you always have to be, always, always, 1,000% positive, or you're not
right.
a positive person.
Well,
you
I've been
always...
operating under this idea that if I did everything right all the time, I would be that 100% person all the time.
And you know what? We would all hate you. Can you picture it?
Yeah.
You never eat anything you shouldn't eat. You're always meditating. You're always so cheerful and happy and positive and
right.
Yeah.
And then how would I relate to anybody?
Exactly. Because we're the same old slobs we've always been.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit of it's hard for me to let go of this super person that I keep thinking I'm going to evolve into.
Well,
it's like I kind of have to send her away and just be where I am.
Actually, what you need to send away are the voices.
Okay.
Because they are what, you know, if you dropped all of this after, you know, you hang up the phone and that's it, they're gone.
Yeah.
They would have no more life.
Right.
Right. And so they are desperate to talk you into staying in this place because that's where all of the juice, all of the emotion, all of the angst, and that's how they get to be the center of the universe.
Right.
So if you just said, you know, I got to face it. I'm a good person. I'm going to work on my eating habits because, you know, I want to take good care of my body. And I'm going to really focus more on awareness because I like to be present in the life that I'm living. And, I like to focus on what's working in life and to feel grateful and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm gonna be working on all those things. I'm going to be focused on all those things. And the very fact that I want to do that is all the proof that I need that I'm a good person. Just a regular good person. It's plenty to be.
Huh.
And
well, that's great.
In fact, I would suggest that with a program like that, you will shock yourself at what is possible for you.
Wow. Wow. I guess I just have to allow, it.
Yes. Now,
you know, allow the possibility. I've been really thinking a lot about willingness. You talk a lot about willingness, and I've realized that that's been hanging me up. You know, even being willing to believe that it's possible that I'm okay.
Yes.
You know?
Now, here's one of those little tricky Zen things that maybe you know, maybe you don't. You have all the willingness you need.
Oh.
What you've been willing for is to believe that you weren't okay.
Ah.
The same willingness you can use to accept the fact that you are okay.
Oh, wow.
It's like electricity. You can use it for anything you want.
Wow. That's a big revelation. I really have never thought of it that way.
Hey, now you
instead of having to get it, I might already have it. Or have it.
You absolutely already have it. Yep.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? Now, are you thinking about coming to a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
Well, I sure would love to someday. So far, the date, I teach at a university, so I have to find dates that, fall in the summer.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So we should pretty much try to plan one for this summer.
Yes, August. That would be my dream time.
Okay. All right, we'll work on it. Because I'll tell you, I can promise
you. Thank you so much.
I can promise you, you will love it.
Well, I think I would.
Yeah. Oh, I know you would. I mean, as much as you love awareness, you're going to be like a 1,000-watt light bulb sitting there.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, keep having
fun.
Thank
you, Sherry.
You're
okay.
Very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was a fun call.
Really fun. I mean, there is nothing as thrilling as waking up.
Yes.
And, it seems like this is true. I know that. You know that. And most of the people we sort of spend our time with know that. But sometimes we forget how big it is, you know? And a lot of what goes on in practice is we have these moments of, like those moments of awakening, and then conditioning comes in and we go back into that struggle and slog. And so to be able to just stay in that place of awareness and insight and those connections and, it's just so thrilling. I love that.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah.
Jerry, we have 3 more callers lined up, and we're going to take a quick break here and then come back to them.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, you ready for the next caller?
I am.
Okay. Next caller, you're on Open Air with Sherry Huber. You just got a message saying you are now unmuted. If you could please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Christina, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Good evening.
Good evening. And actually, I would like to just be brief and let other callers get on. Secretly, I was calling in because I can't get in on the internet, and I knew if I called in, I could hear it over the phone. So I will kindly say hello, hang up, and let you talk to the other people.
All right. And you'll send an email in saying what was going on, that you were
having
trouble?
Yeah. I'll try to think.
Send that in, because maybe one of Michael or one of our other tech wizards can help you figure out what it is so that you can stay with us.
Okay, super. I don't know if it's helpful to know. There, it looks like there are like 30 or 40 people on the call. Last week there was more than 100, so I'm not sure.
Well,
there are a couple of us having a hard time.
Apparently those numbers that you see don't have much to do with anything.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So that's one of the many things we're trying to sort out.
Okay.
And Christina, if you could send that email to openair@livingcompassion.com and just tell us kind of, in as much detail as you can what your experience was.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Christina.
Okay, happy radio show. Bye.
Good night.
Okay. Ready for our next caller, Sherry?
Uh-huh.
Okay, next caller, you just got a message saying you're now unmuted. Could you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Anna, and I'm calling from California.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
What's going on?
I'm really excited. I've never called before, I'm pretty into the fact that I actually called, so.
It's funny because it's pretty anonymous, right? I mean, there are lots of Annas in California. And yet, the heart gets pounding and, it takes a lot of courage to call in.
Yeah,
So congratulations.
Thank you. So I just came from the monastery, as you probably remember. And
I know which Anna.
Yeah, now you know. I came back into what seems like, disappointment. I came back and something kind of unexpected and disappointing to some person, sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've been looking at is the difference between pain and suffering. Because it feels like sometimes it's just really painful, because it's like really sad, and I'm really it's just really disappointing and sad on some level what's going on, and on another level, like sometimes there's like a whole story around it, and I'm really suffering. And the person that's coming through is like, what should I do? I need to get, like the person who really wants to take care of stuff and like is making a list and putting me on this regime and like this whole thing. And then there's other times where it's just like, okay. And it's just kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. And you can feel yourself obviously going back and forth between those two experiences of someone who is actually having the experience and is sad, right? And someone who's actually not having the experience but goes into an action plan to, and now we have to make little quote marks in the air, take care of the person who is actually having the experience. Go ahead.
Yeah. It feels like I'm feeling sad, and then there's this person who's like, we need to take care of this. Like, we need to, I want to take care of you. I want to put you on, make sure that, we have a plan and that, I don't know, just this whole, like
we
regime.
Can fix this. We can fix this.
We can fix it. We can handle this. That's something that's coming up. I can handle this. I'm fine. I'm fine. No problem.
Uh-huh. And which, of course, you can. I mean,
right.
We guess you're going to survive this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't say anything about the person who is really sad and disappointed and is having the feelings that she's having.
Yeah. And I guess as I'm saying it, I guess I'm realizing that I guess I am identified a lot with this really sad, like there's just really sad, it's just sad.
And
you know?
And what is the problem with that? What is the problem with letting that person have her life experience?
I guess the push is like, oh, we have stuff to do. We need to get this taken care of. What about it? What about, and it comes up with all these like, well, now we need to, the stuff that needs to like get taken care of.
Uh-huh. And what it sounds like though is that would be put in to keep her from having the experience that she's having.
Yeah. You know, it seems like what's happening is like there's this really sad person and someone just kind of wants to put her aside sort of.
Yeah.
You know, and like, okay, we don't really have time for that, but you know, you can be sad, but I need to, you know, make sure that, you know, I get my work done and I, you know,
mm-hmm.
think about, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen next and
mm-hmm.
Appear to be fine, whatever.
Right. And there's a way in which that's true.
Right?
Yeah. It's just, if it becomes one instead of the other,
right,
then we tend to lose something in that.
Right.
But if from center, you were responsible for making sure that the one who's sad and disappointed gets to have her feelings to grieve whatever, you know, in whatever way she needs to grieve, and that people who are concerned about getting to work and getting things done and taking care of business and that sort of thing so that you survive on the physical level,
mm-hmm.
that they have time and space to do that,
mm-hmm.
that seems like it would be a good arrangement.
Yeah, I guess the way it's sort of being framed is that it's either or.
Yes.
Right.
And it sounds like, you know, there's a, we could say there's a emotional strength
mm-hmm.
and there's sort of mental physical strength.
Right.
And they're in a tug of war right now.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what needs to happen, I project, is for you to move into a disidentified mentor place.
Right.
And take advantage of both of those because you do want to have your emotional experience of life.
Right.
And you do want to be able to be responsible and pay the rent and show up and that sort of thing.
Right.
So from that centered mentor place, you can be sure that everybody's needs get met.
Right.
And then it doesn't turn into, you know, the equivalent of two little children duking it out to decide who gets to be dominant.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that seems like a struggle if it's like this is a story. This seems to have been happening for a long time, but it seems to have come to a sort of point.
Yeah. Yes, that this is a familiar process in your life, right?
Right.
And one that many, many people, we could probably say most people, can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
That when something traumatic happens, that's a place that people get thrown into. You know,
mm-hmm.
the emotion is there. Emotion is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Right, yeah.
It's okay for little children to be emotional, but adults shouldn't be. And
right.
so then the survival system kicks in to try to stuff the feelings so that the person can do whatever it is that they need to do. And then you get that next layer of, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hatred get to latch on to that whole thing, And then it becomes a real opportunity to make a person unutterably miserable.
Right.
Yeah. So you know that process in your life, and
uh-huh.
with awareness practice, you're really getting to see it now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that there's a possibility that that like both of these things can sort of like coexist.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
As they can. You have three children. One is very emotional, very, very in touch with her feelings. One just lives in her head.
Yeah.
You know, she's really smart. She figures everything out. She knows how everything works. The other is just physical.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just do something.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do something here. What do we need to do? And
mm-hmm.
then there they are. And as we're fond of pointing out, you don't get to say, okay, I'm going to keep this one and get rid of those two, because
right.
they're all your children. And
yeah.
they're all lovable and valuable and treasured.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to make sure that they all have an opportunity to contribute what they contribute and have their needs met and be a
mm-hmm.
part of the whole thing. Make life full,
mm-hmm.
which they do when they are all in balance. And you're the balancer.
Right. Right. Yeah, and so that's kind of just the, like, that would be my practice, would be just to, like, sit there and take care of the, not, like, take care of thee, but allow the three of them to, or, you know, all of them, but particularly the three of them, because they're the ones
yes.
that are really here right now.
That's right. Yeah, there are other children, but these are front and center.
Yeah, these are very, very front and center right
mm-hmm.
now. Yeah.
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 And so your job is to stay in that centered place best you can
uh-huh.
And really be able to see, okay, well, yes, you know, I can go home tonight and I'm going to be there by myself, and it's a perfect time to just be, feel all of the feelings that I feel about this.
Uh-huh.
And then there, you know, tomorrow there are things that need to get done.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and we have that head person who will figure things out and not forget anything. And
uh-huh.
and so it's your job to say, okay, you're up. Okay,
yeah.
You're up.
Yeah, and I actually do feel like that's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And some level, like, okay, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do that, now we're going to do that. And what's coming up is someone's coming in and being like, I know this is self-hate now, but it does seem real, like, that's so rigid. You can't schedule out, like, which sub-personality is going to be, like, getting attention.
The answer to that is, sure we can.
Yeah.
Sure we can.
Right.
And because, you know, self-hatred loves that kind of, again, the little fingers are in the air, spontaneity,
right.
Which means just, you know, being jerked around in every direction. Because, again, you have these three children, and they are scheduled.
Right.
You know, they do. They eat at certain times. They go to bed at certain times. They, you know, that level of spontaneity that self-hatred would like to have you in, we call chaos.
Right.
And so, yes, you can. And you can know, you know, if you're suddenly hit with a wave of sadness and
uh-huh.
you're at work,
right.
Well, then you just, you know, you say, excuse me, and go to the restroom or walk outside or whatever
yeah.
it is that you need to do. And if you have that kind of relationship with yourself where nobody's being repressed,
yeah,
then the folks inside don't get desperate.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
Sounds
like you are, but I'll say it anyway. Take very good care of yourself.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, this is fun. I'm enjoying this.
Yes.
Yes.
We get to spend quality time with great people.
Yes.
Can't ask for more than that.
Can't ask for anything more than that. Sherry, we have two more callers. We're going to take a quick break before we get to them.
All right.
Hello, my name is John March, and I'm the leader of a music project called the Zen Blues Quartet. For the last few years, this collaboration of some of the best musicians in the world has been gathering to record and perform as a way of showing our gratitude and love for the music of the blues. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
What a life.
What a life. What a life. Sherry, we have another caller, and you just got a message saying you are now unmuted. Could you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
This is Christina from San Francisco.
Oh.
Do you want me to I called back because I couldn't get back on, and so I was listening on the phone again.
That's a challenge.
Yeah, so guide, can I ask a question, or shall I hang up and let someone else ask a question? Because I get to call in a lot. I'm happy.
Yeah,
to...
that might be the better way to go for right
okay,
now.
Okay, that's what
all
I'll
right,
do.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
And Sherry, I just want to give a message to everybody kind of along those lines that unfortunately we don't have enough phone lines to let people listen over the phone.
Yeah, I wish we did.
I wish we did. And if you're having challenges listening, please send us an email, openair@livingcompassion.org, because we really want to, you know, make it possible for everyone to be able to listen on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it sounds like there's some challenges doing that.
Yeah, and it's early days, so I figure we're, you know, it's going to take us a little while to work all the kinks out. If people can be patient and, again, let us know, because we're in constant communication with the folks who are at TalkShoe, and I'm sure it's all going to work out. We just have to find out what the issues are and then take the steps to resolve them.
Yes.
So people shouldn't suffer in silence.
No, don't suffer.
No.
If you're having trouble listening, send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org with as many technical details as you can think of. And we will, as you say, we're in communication with TalkShoe and working to, you know, make awareness practice available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have about 10 minutes left, and I have another caller here.
All right.
Yeah, you just got a message saying you're unmuted. Could you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Lisa from the Seattle area.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Sherry.
What's going on?
Well, it was interesting hearing an earlier caller talk about the concept of backlash.
Uh-huh.
Because I think I'm in it. Or experiencing some of it after going to a retreat not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
And I seem to be in this story that is telling me that I just cannot handle this awareness practice in the life that I have.
Uh-huh.
And if I was just somewhere else by myself, if I was at the monastery, if I lived in a cave, I could do it. But with... you know, the 2.5 kids and the dog and the mortgage and the taxes and the, you know, on and on and on and on and on. It just seems so overwhelming. And
uh-huh.
It is so believable. And I figure it's got to be a voice. But
now,
let me
ask you
this. Real.
Let me ask you this. How is awareness kind of putting you over the top?
Oh, I guess I'm not unconscious anymore.
Uh-huh. So the basic point that it's making is if you were unconscious, you could get through all of this, these demands and pressures and that sort of thing easier than you can try to face it with consciousness.
I guess, or rather the stance that it's taking is you could do this if you just didn't have all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And like now, you could do this if you were at the monastery. Because when you're at the monastery, you can do it.
And what is the this that you would be doing?
Being aware, being able to count my breath, being able to be from center,
uh-huh.
being able to breathe, being able to be present
uh-huh.
with others
uh-huh.
rather than, you know, just get frustrated and, you know, want to run away.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, all of that.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm going to project wildly here. It sounds as if what's happened is that conditioned mind has taken a hold of all of the ideas of awareness practice and is now using them against you.
Probably.
Don't you think?
So that sounds like something that it would do.
Yeah, it points out when you're not aware.
Right.
Points out when you're not present, when you're not centered.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, just points out everything that you're doing wrong all day long. And then it has the gall, which it does, to say that it's awareness that's the problem. Wouldn't it be nice if it just said, you know, your real problem is that you're listening to me?
That would be nice.
It's so refreshing. You can kind of, you know, have sympathy for it then or kind of, you know, want to welcome it in. But no, it points out all this stuff out and then it says, and you're the problem. Oh, no, it's the kids and the husband and the work
right.
and the, yeah.
Those are the problems. I can handle the whole awareness practice. I can have, you know, the space and time to meditate and have all of my reminders around me and listen to my reassurances tape and all. I can do all that.
Uh-huh.
If all of you guys would just go away. If, you know, if I could just run away and be by myself,
yeah, now, can
like,
you
I
get
could
them,
do this.
Can you get them to go away for short periods of time?
Occasionally.
Uh-huh.
They don't listen to me, but, you know, occasionally.
How old are your kids?
5 and 9.
Ooh. Yeah, that is tough. It's tough to get rid of a 5-year-old. 9-year-old is, you know, already angling to get away.
To get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 5, they haven't quite gotten the hang of that yet.
Right.
And yet, she's in school.
She is in school part-time.
Yeah, in school
right,
part-time.
Right, and I work part-time.
Uh-huh. And those overlap, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's some time to me, but not a lot.
So here's what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest, since you can't get away to a cave or run off to the monastery, that sort of thing, I'm going to suggest an affair.
Oh. Sure.
Okay. And I'm going to suggest that you have an affair with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now, not that either one of us is a great expert at affairs, probably. However, we know some of the components, right? You have to figure out how you're going to spend time with this person, right? You have to make plans for little bits of time that you can spend together. Yeah?
Yeah.
You have to send messages back and forth. So you have to have kind of secret communications,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so this is what I'm going to suggest for you. Because if you really were having an affair, your attention would be on exactly what I'm describing.
Right.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do is move you up into a position of being someone really desirable to be with. Which you are. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if the only time you have for your affair is driving back from taking the kids to school or on your way to work, or as you're, doing chores or errands or that sort of thing. You take advantage of that time because that's the only time you have. And you don't want to miss a moment of it because you have precious little of this time. And so you learn to get these needs met in these little bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yep.
How's it sound?
Sounds good. I just have to get rid of the guilt over the affair.
That's right. You do.
Right. Yep. That's the only piece of it I can see coming in.
Yeah. And you will. You will feel guilt over it because so much of our conditioning is that's selfish.
Well, especially as a mom. It's like, well, look at all these things that aren't being done.
That's right.
Because
that's
I'm,
right.
you know, off taking a walk.
That's right. That's
well,
right. And so,
you know, somebody's got to cook dinner.
That's right.
So,
that's right. Now, of course, you can make cooking dinner that kind of time with yourself.
I just haven't quite made that switch yet.
That's right. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't. And conditioning, of course, is very invested in us not.
Mm-hmm.
But it, once we start looking at it that way, there's a ton of time in the day that truly, if you were having an affair, you would be passing notes. You know, you'd be writing emails and leaving voice messages and, planning trips to Starbucks and those kinds of things. So it's the same process, but here's the really good news about it. What you're going to be giving your children, because that's, you know, and your husband, what you're going to be giving to these people is somebody who is happy and fulfilled rather than someone who is harried and guilty, feeling bad, and resenting them.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you what. My mother was a terrible housekeeper. She was a truly terrible housekeeper. And when I was there's a lot of pressure. You know, I'm a girl. I should be doing housework. I should be, you know. My mother hated housework. And her response to it when, you know, like my aunt or somebody would say something about, you know, the example she's setting for me, she would say, she's intelligent. When she needs to mop a floor, she'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I love that about my mother.
That's great.
Yeah. And I would not have such fond memories of somebody who was neurotically trying to get through a list of chores and make me either join her in that getting through that list or fight with me over it or whatever. That house, God knows what happened to it. It's probably dirty somewhere right now. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So it's really important to sort out what we're doing for our conditioning and what we're actually doing for our children.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I need to think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank
truly.
You.
Yeah, because what they want is a happy mom.
Right. Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I had a great time.
Me too.
It was a lot of fun.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Thanks Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Night.